Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
All right, joining us on the line, a name that I certainly can say, Daniel Eloff, maybe because I've spoken to him enough at times. Daniel, very good morning to you. How are you? They're really giving me a hard time today. I hope at least you are going to be a little more gentle.
But I always enjoy chatting to you.
It's great chatting to you. So you were involved, you're involved in a case and around the private procurement of vaccine. I'm very open on my horror that we've handed this to government that certainly hasn't been well known for service delivery, whilst the private sector has not been able or has been precluded from procuring vaccines. What is the current status?
So the current status is that the private sector will be allowed to procure vaccines should they wish to do so. This obviously follows a lengthy legal process that started at the beginning of the year up until now. I think perhaps just sort of as a precursor to mention, this is less ideological than most people realize. I mean, the point is, to be honest, it's actually quite pragmatic. Do we really want the same people who are in charge of Eskom, in charge of SAA, in charge of Transnet, in charge of fixing potholes, to be the same people to ensure that the vaccine rollout happens and procurement happens swiftly and smoothly? We're not saying that government should not be involved at all. All we're saying is allow the private sector, where they wish to do so, to procure and distribute and give the vaccine and provide it to the people. It also lightens the burden of government so that government can focus on the vulnerable people who won't be able to procure the vaccine by themselves.
Yeah, but obviously we know that government has been very resistant. They wanted centralized purchasing. We say they claim it's because, well, there's a limited amount and they've got to control the process. Do we believe them?
Well, the irony of the entire situation is that there is a limited amount, but it's precisely because governments around the world have decided, or at least the rich governments around the world have decided to procure it themselves. You know, the United States, Canada, the UK, all these countries have been buying a lot of vaccines, and rightly so. And what's happened is because in South Africa, we've left it to the devices of government to solely procure vaccines, we are now lagging behind. And that's the entire problem. Had clarity earlier on, we would perhaps have seen large medical aids, private hospital groups, some of the trade unions, large companies and mining groups in South Africa would have already procured the vaccines. So the government's argument that there's this limited pool and therefore government should solely be responsible for procuring vaccines simply doesn't hold water.
Mm. And it's so perplexing to me because every person vaccinated is one person less of a strain, one person less able to transfer the virus, to put a burden on the health system. Surely the policy should be go out, get the vaccine, however we can do it, in every corner of South Africa, see how you can find a way to make sure that some people are vaccinated and government steps in and fills in the gap. Isn't it the most logical? Isn't it all about speed at this stage?
Mm. Exactly. Speed and effectiveness and in the best interest of the country. But the problem is, once again, this is where ideology comes before pragmatism. It's the ideology of the ANC to be a centralized body ensuring, you know, they might have good intentions. You know, you might say they do this in good faith. But the point is, it comes from an ideological position that the ANC believes there should be this massive centralized authority that ensures the good vaccine gets spread to all of the South Africans. And that's entirely the problem. That's on the one hand. The other hand is obviously government had no legal basis to say that they are solely allowed to procure. There was no empowering legislative or constitutional provision saying government can just go stand on Mount Sinai and declare that they are the sole procurers of any COVID vaccines. And I think that's the problem that they ran into with our court case. They had to acknowledge no such legal enabling provision exists.
Mm. So what was the case now and what happens?
So perhaps if I could take you through a quick timeline of events. So early in the year, on the 4th of Jan, Minister Mkhize had a public media briefing where he said government will be the sole procurer of all vaccines. He repeated it a week later during a parliamentary committee hearing. We wrote on behalf of the Solidarity Trade Union and AfriForum to Minister Mkhize and President Ramaphosa, basically asking them, do we understand this position correctly? Will you not allow the private procurement of vaccines? And unfortunately, they didn't respond to our letter within 2 weeks, so we were compelled to go to court. So we issued our court papers late during the month of January, and we went to court, and about less than a week ago, we finally received government's responding papers in our court case, wherein they acknowledge no such legal prohibition exists, and they obviously stated it under oath. And for us, this is the clarity that we were seeking. All that we wanted was government to confirm that the normal meaning of their words prior to this court case, saying that no private procurement will be allowed, that's incorrect, and that they have misconstrued the position, because the problem is the effect of the minister's statements had a real life impact. Companies thought that there was a de facto prohibition placed on the procurement of vaccines, and thanks to this court case, now we have the clarity, and now companies can, if they wish, continue to procure vaccines for their employees.
Is it likely to happen? My sense is, and it's a loaded question because I think it won't. My sense is that the medical aides, for example, are walking such a fine line between pleasing government and trying to look after their members, not that we get the sense that they actually have. Certainly they haven't actually at this point in terms of this. But do you think that they will have the courage to say, well, okay, we are entitled to do this. We're going to go out and do it now.
So it's an interesting situation. Whether or not South African companies will be brave enough to do it is up in the air. But what we've seen recently is that in countries that where the government initially attempted the centralized approach to the procurement of vaccines, governments are now relaxing it. For example, in Mexico, the Mexican government initially said, no, we will take responsibility, we will do this. And then the rollout was extremely slow. And now we're seeing more and more governments around the world saying, goodness, we actually need the private sector. We can't do this on our own. And they're starting to, I say allow in inverted commas. They're now asking the private sector to please assist us with rolling out vaccines as quickly as possible. And we hope the same happens here. There are a couple of examples around the world where companies have done it. In for example, Singapore, Mexico, a couple of African countries. It's particularly in countries that are similar to South Africa's socioeconomic circumstances. And what I suspect will happen in South Africa is we'll see some trade unions, for example, one of our clients, Solidarity, they want to order nearly 10,000 vaccines for their members who are frontline healthcare workers. They would have been able to do so last year had it not been for government prohibiting them from doing it. So we could have had 10,000 extra vaccinations already had it not been for government. So, for example, trade unions would like to do it. We know a bunch of mining groups would like to vaccinate their staff. So I do believe it will happen on a small scale. But again, like you mentioned earlier, each person that gets vaccinated brings us closer to group immunity, which is exactly where we want to be.
I wonder if, for example, members of a medical aid could put pressure on the medical aides to inspire them or encourage them to go ahead and do that. I wonder if that would work now that it's very clearly a possibility.
Yes, and it has happened to a certain extent. I know ProfMed, which is, I think, the fifth or sixth largest private medical aid in the country, they've publicly gone out and said, government can't firstly force us to use our members' money to fund vaccinations of other people. And secondly, we want to vaccinate our members. You could just think from it from a financial point of view. It's a lot cheaper for medical aides to vaccinate all of their members than it is for them to spend money on ICU beds, on their members actually being sick.
Absolutely.
So there's an incentive for medical aides that's good for their members because they don't get them to be sick, and it's beneficial for the companies as well.
Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. Fascinating conversation, as always. It is 8:44. I've been chatting to Daniel Eloff. He's a writer, lecturer, and attorney at Hunter Spess. And we are talking, or we have been talking, about the legal prohibition on private procurement of vaccines on provincial health departments.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.